lessons driven by truth. Broadcasting live from beautiful British Columbia, it's Roadkill Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Terry Simpson and Terry O'Neill.
Howdy doody. Terry, how are you doing today?
Well, what are you doing over there, Terry O'Neill?
We have a full house tonight, and off camera we have a crowd of scores of people, dozens, hundreds, a throng over there. Well, there's one, two, three, four, five people in the wings anyway as well. So we have an important show tonight with some important subjects.
We do.
We'll be getting to the first group of guests in just a minute. But I do want to just let our viewers know that you are, of course, listening to Roadkill Radio. And throughout the course of this important show, please feel free to call us. If you have any comments, questions, or queries, or anything else, starting with a hard C sound, at 604-525-4167, or I'm on my email here now, you can email us at roadkillradio@live.ca. So send your emails to roadkillradio@live.ca. Later in the show, we will be talking with Chris Delaney about the ongoing HST debate here in British Columbia.
War. It's not a debate. It's a war,
Terry. It's coming
Terry
down
O'Neill.
To the short strokes, as they say. this month we will be getting here in British Columbia referendum ballots sent to us by the provincial government to vote on whether or not to keep the HST or to go back to the GST-PST situation. And the government, of course, has sweetened the pot quite a bit here in British Columbia to try to persuade British Columbians to support the HST.
So. I don't know. They're spending a lot of my money doing it. They're going to have to just keep it around to pay for what they're doing.
Yeah. And if you vote to keep the HST, if you have children under 18, I'm not sure if they count grandchildren, Carrie, children under 18 at home, you get an extra $175 as well. Just a little bonus, a little sweetener.
We're supposed to go, yeehaw!
A little sweetener. I believe that Chris Delaney's partner Bill Vanderzam called that a bribe, but we'll talk to Chris Delaney about that.
I might be inclined to agree
right.
with Bill.
Anyway, Chris is on the road fighting against the HST right now, so he'll be phoning in. We'll also be talking in the middle of the show to the esteemed columnist from the National Post, Barbara Kay, about an issue of parenting.
Issue? Is that the best word you
can
call it? It's more than an issue. This has been like... It's galvanized this country.
You're feeling, you're very explosive today.
You know what, that's just...
Issue and just crisis. Do you want a crisis in parenting?
Well, no, it's insanity
okay.
in parenting.
Well, this, if case
crisis
you, case,
would be being nice.
What we are referring to is a couple in Toronto that has decided to raise their third child in a gender-free fashion, as you might say. They are not letting anyone know what the gender, the sex of this child is, because they don't want to impose societal norms, expectations. They just want to be free. Barbara will have something to say about that, and I think you will too. I might even have a word or two to say about that.
Not you, Terry
as well.
O'Neill.
You know, I think it's a pretty important issue, and a lot of people have been weighing in on this, and we're going to put the definitive stamp on it here at Roadkill Radio
finally,
tonight.
Finally.
That's right.
Tonight
so finally,
is tonight, people.
We'll bring it all together and
we'll make
sure
sense
that,
out of the senseless.
That's right. Well, that's right.
That's what we do here.
We'll open the eyes of the blind. We will cure the lame.
We will cause the world to see.
That's right.
All here tonight.
So, while we've been going on here, we've three guests here patiently waiting for us here tonight. And they are indeed the subjects of our first a very important discussion. That's not an explosive word, Carrie. But we are going to be talking...
Do you want me to put my constructive hat on at this moment, Terry?
Yes, like, well, okay, wait, what I will do... Are you going to be...
Is that better?
Well, you know, before the camera went on, before we went on air, it was pretty exciting in here. Not only was there a throng of people coming and filling this room up to overflowing...
Wait, everybody clap.
That's right. Yeah, can you hear... There, I see a big throng over here.
Things happen at Roadkill Studios.
But Carrie was filling the room up with her vibrant personality, and as you normally do anyway. So this, indeed, is another parenting issue. And while you can say that... the issue that we're going to be talking to Barbara Kay about is about questionable parenting and the public and the public's response to it. This first issue is about parenting as well and the state's response to it. And on that note, I want to introduce to you, and I'll just introduce the first names. Closest to me on my left, your right, is Magda.
Yes,
hello,
correct.
Magda. Next to Magda is Kevin.
Hi.
And next to Kevin is their advocate, Starella. Starella.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming. And we can't identify them, or we don't want to identify them further than that. Can we say where they come from?
Sure.
They come from Salmon Arm in beautiful British Columbia. Salmon Arm is not the most lovely name of a town, but it's one of the most lovely places
in British Columbia. Imagine if they called it something that truly reflected what it is.
Everybody would go there all the time.
There you go. They know what they're doing in Salmon Arm.
It's kind of like Moose Jaw and Salmon Arm. Yeah. Put the two of them together, you got the perfect Canadian town. Yes, yeah. I moved from Moose Jaw to Salmon. We try to have a little levity on the show. So anyway,
thank you.
Anyway, Carrie, I'm going to turn it over to you right now because you've been following this case very closely, indeed getting involved in it. So, Carrie.
Well, just a little bit of background, and many of our viewers know that Roadkill takes a very strong interest in what we now term quite often as the Ministry of Destruction, and I have a long history involved in trying to at least keep some balance in what goes on with the ministry, and it seems that once, you know, I take my eyes off it for a little while or other people do, then we tend to get things go bad. Things go wrong again. And we seem to be at that peak again with what goes on here in British Columbia. About 3 months ago, your advocate, Starella, contacted me, as many people do. This is quite often a daily, two times a situation in a day in my office. And you told me about a case. And I've heard of all these cases before. But this one was particularly disturbing because it involved a language barrier. It involved bad information. And you know what? We had just come off. Remember the case with Helen Ward from Kids First, Terry, talking about when information is gathered, as they're doing, for instance, in kindergarten, right through the schools now. And then we had the BC Civil Liberties Association on Michael Vaughn, remember? And she talked about how the government's getting centralized information. And we talked about, you know, issues that follow people when there's bad information.
Right. And here we have a personification of the issue that we were talking about here.
What can happen when this bad information is allowed to perpetuate, when social workers don't care enough to correct the record, when we lose our way as far as rather than assisting families, we want to destroy families.
So very quickly, can we say that Magda is on the eve of giving birth to a second child?
Correct.
The ministry wants to apprehend that child the moment it is born.
It's a baby girl.
And the ministry has already apprehended and has taken into custody your first child, who's now
17, 18 months
old. And he's been in custody for how long?
He's been in custody since he was born.
Since he was born as well.
On November the 2nd, 2009.
And you're the father of both children, Kevin?
I'm the father of these two children.
Yes, okay.
Now, as a matter of fact, you're not even supposed to be here today because you were supposed to have a C-section today. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And one of the things that struck me when I got a call, and one of the organizations that was very involved in an organization that I have great respect for, is an organization called PAPA, and that's an organization that helps parents that are involved with the Ministry of Children and Family. And we're going to have them on our show within the next few weeks. But I'm also going to put their website up because if anybody else is getting this information, as many people do, there is a support organization that I've met with that I respect, and I know they do a good job. So rather than have this C-section today, you decided to leave town.
Leave Salmon Arm.
Because one thing you didn't want is this cast of characters, of social workers that have been instrumental and at the root problem here, having anything to do with this baby. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's one social worker in particular, Rhonda Bailey, who's been pretty much instrumental in making her feel terrible. Like she couldn't stay in town. She's told me that she says, I can't go to Vernon, I can't go to Salmon Arm, I have to get out.
Now, Rhonda Bailey, then, she works for the Ministry of Children and Family in what office?
In the Salmon Arm office.
In the Salmon Arm office. Now, has she been involved in the apprehension of your older son as well?
She's been involved the whole way through.
Now,
from the decision that they took initially when this whole thing first arose, Rhonda Bailey got involved.
Okay, so now let's go back in time.
Have we attempted to contact Rhonda Bailey or?
No, we haven't. Not yet. This actually all transpired. I didn't realize that you were coming into town today. I've been aware of the case. I know through talking to the PAVO organization that the baby was due. But this decision to come and at least try to get a fresh set of eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, you're on public online show here. You're not trying to hide out from the ministry. You're not trying to do anything. As a matter of fact, you would welcome representatives to come in and say, okay, let's look through this mess and see what's gone on here and do a reevaluation of the whole situation. Am I correct in that?
You're completely correct. That's what we're looking at doing. We're not trying to sit there and say...
The mic, sorry.
We're not trying to sit there and say that we're the best parents in the world, but we just want to be parents of our children. I think that our family would be a loving family. I know that my parents will support us.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. You actually don't even know what kind of parent you're going to be because you haven't had the chance yet, have you?
I had a chance before in Calgary, but it's, he didn't give it a chance because he took advice of, other people in Canada, which actually complicated his life.
And these were social workers. And let's go back to the beginning, because this case, you know, I get all these kinds of cases, and you have to sort through all the nonsense and all the dirt, because social workers will find dirt. Mm-hmm. They will find any kind of dirt, whether there is no dirt sometimes. Mm-hmm. And anybody's life who's put under a microscope, would your life be dirty, Terry?
Yes, they would find dirt.
Not your life.
They absolutely would.
You were my last hope.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you, and I'm sorry to disappoint all the roadkill warriors out there, all the rockers, roadkill radio rockers. But yes, there's dirt. And it's more than just under my fingernails.
Well, that might warrant a whole new show.
That's right.
Okay, now... And I say that because I think any time there is, you know, there's this funny psychology attached to this. Because every parent out there, every grandparent who is in charge of a child, if the child was to break their arm and have to be taken to the hospital, there would be this nagging little voice in the back of their head thinking, they're going to think I've abused this child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what we are conditioned to be like here in British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And there's something tragically wrong with that whole psychology. Mm-hmm. But the other issue that we deal with quite often is, well, if the professional says there's a problem, i.e. the social worker, well, there must be a problem.
You know what? I used to have exactly that reaction when I was working in TV news back when I was a young man. You know, I was like, oh, the social workers say this is a problem, you know, like they're the experts. I used to feel exactly the way that you're describing it. And it's actually a big part of my education came through your activism and my journalism on your activism back in the 90s, early 90s. And so
I have my ways.
You do. You certainly do. Now, I would like to get just a couple of things on the record here that. You two are living together as a husband and wife, are you? Do you live together?
Okay. Yes, we do.
Are either of you employed?
Not currently,
okay.
No.
Okay, so you're not neither employed. You're both on getting welfare or...
I'm on EI right now. Just running out.
Oh, okay. So, okay. And do either of you have a criminal record?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't. Actually, we have money. I have money from my husband, from ex-husband.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's how I was living.
Okay, and you live in an apartment or a house or
a house that my dad owns.
Oh, okay, so yeah, pretty well set up. And
wait a minute, is that family support?
Family support.
Family support.
No criminal record.
Indeed.
Okay, you know you're not known to police. You're not a drug dealer or pedophile or no criminal record. So none of that sort of stuff here. So we want to get that on the record here, and so from my understanding, and I'm coming at this fresh approach. The your older child Paul was apprehended, and it was you had actually originally gone to the ministry seeking their help with this, right? And that opened the gates to more help than you wanted.
Actually, your mother helped, didn't she? She made a phone call.
Yeah.
And you know what? Guess who we have on the line? We've got the mother on the line, the grandmother. Barb, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Barb. Welcome to Roadkill Radio.
Hi there.
Now, if you had known where all this would have ended up, would you have made that phone call?
No, I would not have. No, what? I would not.
Hello, Barb. It's Terry O'Neill here, Roadkill Radio. What exactly did you say in that initial phone call, reaching out for help?
initially I was concerned because Magda's husband got custody of her child from her first marriage, and I wondered about that, like why he got custody, and I wondered if there was an issue. So I phoned the ministry and said that I was concerned about this, and she said yes, they would check into it. If there was a problem, they would get a hold of me.
Uh-huh.
And it was probably 2 or 3 months later before I finally heard from them, and at that point she said, it's bad. It is real bad. And started to detail a bunch of stuff that scared me.
Okay, but wait a minute, Barb. This social worker breached confidentiality, information that she got, records. She didn't just call to say, thank you for your call, yes, we have concerns. Did she elaborate on her concerns?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
And at that point, did you were you believing everything she was saying?
Of course. Of course, because she's a government
right.
Worker, like that's who we're supposed to trust.
Have you subsequently found out that a lot of what she said was untrue or exaggerated?
Very much.
Oh, okay.
Very much.
So, but at that time, then you were probably wanting to protect your soon-to-be grandson and your son and had all that in mind. Okay. Pieces are falling together here.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carrie?
Well, so what happened? Now, it's usually my experience. Tell me if I'm wrong here, Barb. But after she gave you this information, did she kind of recruit you to the cause that we have to convince your son that this is not a good situation and he has to protect this baby?
Yes, she did.
So what happened next then? You get confirmation that your worst fears are soon to be realized, and did you call your son, or what happened next?
We discussed it.
Hmm.
Like I told him that I had called them, that I was concerned about his child, and that they had these concerns, that they had these, she was, you know, detailing things, giving me details that scared me.
Now, so you pick up from here then, Kevin. So your mom calls you, and suddenly there's all this, well, I'll use your word, crises being generated from misinformation. What are you feeling like at this moment? Because things weren't that good your relationship-wise, were they, at that point in time?
I felt... I don't know. I just felt, you know, at that time, it was very, very, like, my life was not great. It was just, and this is this on top of it. So I didn't know. I was very confused, and I decided at that point in time to, you know, basically follow their lead. And
I want to pick up on that, because their lead wasn't, hey, we can offer you support. We can see how this is going to work out. We'll keep an eye. If you need anything, we'll call there. We'll make resources available. Was any of that offered to you?
No, at no point in time.
So the only option was we'll take the child into custody. That was it. Okay.
And at that point in time, too, because we talked a little bit about this before the show, because and it's something we touch on often here, Terry, and it's about the culture of where we're at, about the importance of children, the importance of a father, and the role of the lives of their children. We've lost that. And I want to just spend just a quick little time on that, Kevin, because I know from my discussions with you, this has been a transforming experience for you. You've come full circle. You went from being what we raise in this culture of, you know, if you don't want the baby, you kill the baby. And if you don't want to take care of the baby, if the baby comes and you throw it in daycare, you know, the disposable child syndrome is what I'm starting to refer to it as. But here you were almost 40 years old with your first child on the way in a relationship that wasn't so solid. with all of this in your mind, because nowhere in our public education system or in the messages from government or anywhere else do we support or encourage the natural family or the roles of father. Matter of fact, we talk often, Terry, about how we deliberately, you know, destroy the reputation of men in the lives of students.
Well, you know what? I think that the sorts of things that you were just talking about don't come into the equation at all. When the more I hear about what happens with the ministry and how they make their decisions, certainly they put the child's welfare first, and they see that in
they define it as.
Yeah, they put that in a very narrow frame of reference, and instead of looking at a bigger picture, instead of saying, how can we support the natural family unit and keep the family together, because, you know, there was a time when they were doing that for a little while, and then they got out of it. But
even more than that, Jerry, forget the ministry. I'm coming from the psyche of this new soon-to-be father, and what we've done to the minds of our young people and family studies.
Yeah, that's certainly an issue.
Because for me, if anyone messed with me, as I say, one of the most revelation I ever had is when I found out I was pregnant, you know, commercial pilot, and my doctor said, well, we can fix this problem for you, Carrie.
That's right.
And I nearly slugged him.
That's right.
And I was pro-choice. Wow, things change fast.
A revelatory moment, I think that would be.
Is that what that
like
is?
That.
I knew I knew you'd have a name for it.
It's not apocalyptic.
Well, it could have been for the doctor.
Right.
So, but for you now, and I just want to touch on this because there's so much we have to cover in the next few minutes. You know, do you now, you are fighting for your children.
You bet.
What's happened?
I've seen the information that they've handed me, and I think what I liken it to is taking half a pound of chocolate and mixing it into 30 pounds of manure and calling it truth.
Good one.
Yeah, so that was the information that they based all of their initial comments on, about their concerns.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. It might have been obviously a marriage that ended in divorce. There was some fighting and bickering and probably tempestuous. You seem like a spirited woman, Magda. spirited woman. There was probably some fighting with your first husband, and, you know, those things can really lead to stuff. Sitting quietly at the end here, Starella, you've been here. At what stage did you get involved in trying to support this family here?
I got involved when I met Magda back in November 2009, but she went to Poland. I couldn't really get involved back then, but I stayed involved with her.
So this is after they took the baby?
After they took the child.
Okay.
She was placed in the psychiatric ward. I had no idea what had happened. I just met her in there. And
well, you had a relative that you were visiting.
Yeah, a relative.
Magda
I
was placed in a psychiatric ward in Poland?
In Vernon.
In Vernon.
After
Poland.
Yeah, after her child was
taken.
Was that as a result of the child being taken? Or was it?
They did came after me into the hospital where I was put for C-section in Sushrap General Hospital in Seminam. That's why I said I'm not going to the same hospital. Because I knew they are so lazy. There's the women who are actually apprehending children. They come across the street and they're apprehending a child. So I thought that I have support by Blake's family who would actually see this. Why someone would make me more sicker than I am when I already, I'm in recovery room and was taken away to the hospital.
Obviously the psychiatric issue is an important one.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably have come into play with a social worker's decision to apprehend the children, is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, was this an ongoing psychiatric issue?
Not exactly, because
it's being part of, like, she's went through parental capacity assessments with Dr. Lee. She's went through
I'm just going to
psychiatrist's, you know, thing with Dr. Marcus, and I'm going through a parental mm-hmm. capacity.
Well, touch on that is that actually. When she came back in June, that's where I became concerned, was because they said that she had a severe mental illness in the first meeting that I had with Magda, and that she couldn't even be diagnosed. So I went with her to a mental health worker and a psychiatrist that was back in Calgary from 5 years previous. And what I was hearing from them was that the actual mental health worker said he didn't find her to be mentally ill, and he was the one who the social workers got to assess her before she even had her child. They did no psychiatric assessment of her. A psychiatrist came in 2 days after her child was taken, even after the mental health worker states in the hospital notes that aside from situational crisis, there was no mental health concerns.
Their own experts.
Yeah. So their own mental health worker, and then a psychiatrist came in, and under her state of shock, because she wasn't prepared, it states in the notes that she was not to be told that her child was to be taken and that she was to have no contact with her child.
So they didn't even tell you they were apprehending this baby?
No, absolutely not. They told Miss Barbara Newton, who alarmed them, or they alarmed her, it doesn't really matter at that point.
Yeah. No.
But they never did nothing when they even closed me up in the hospital.
Now, I think
it's
important for facts, because after your mom made the phone call, the ministry became involved while you were pregnant with Paul, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout this whole time, they didn't bother to do a psych assessment. They had all the time in the world prior to this baby. Instead, they put in the notes not to tell Magda that they were going to apprehend the baby.
Yeah.
You go into the hospital for your C-section. Mm-hmm. You give birth. Mm-hmm. And what happens next?
This was 2 years ago. This was almost 2 years ago. I was actually told that I'm not supposed to go back to Kevin's parents' house. I'm a bad person. Social workers.
When did they take the baby? You have this C-section.
That's what.
You're in the recovery room.
Exactly.
How many hours later?
Not even. It's a second.
So the baby's taken from you and whisked away.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You weren't allowed to nurse the baby.
Nothing. Don't even touch. Stay away. This is your child.
Wait a minute.
So that would. In everything, absolutely everything I've ever learned about parents and children and the bonding process between the mother and the child says that those first moments after birth are very important, and then there's such. So to absolutely deprive even you of even a minute of that suggests to me that the ministry had made up his mind that it didn't want you ever to have that child. Mm-hmm. This was going to be a permanent. So they'd made their mind up on well in advance that this was going to be a permanent loss of the child. You should never have any bonding with it. And from what you've seen, Cirilla, this was like based on very little assessment and based on no real.
In fact, an alert went out to the hospitals in, I believe it was the same month that the grandmother called in June. That was when the first alerts went out to the hospitals that if
there's a pre-warning. This woman will eventually show up. At what point you call us immediately?
Yeah.
So you're labeled.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what?
There's never any help being offered.
Absolutely no help. None whatsoever. We tried welfare. We tried to communicate because
this
even.
So even if there were serious issues. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They became more serious.
Even if there were, during your first pregnancy, serious issues.
Legitimate issues.
Legitimate issues.
Yeah.
One would think that with all the resources the ministry has, with all the billions of dollars, provincial budget.
Of our money that
goes into providing help for troubled individuals in our society, whether they're homeless, whether they're hungry.
Need
whether
heroin.
Whether they need free heroin, place to shoot up your rights.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, we are good in this province.
One of the most important times of your life, giving birth to a child, pregnant, having had some troubles in the past, but here's somebody in desperate need, not a single offer of any help, but just this preordained decision where he will solve everything by ripping the child away from her.
Well, and where's the interest of the baby in all of this, Terry?
And you know what? Where's the interest of the public?
And actually,
where's the interest of the public? Because really, it serves me. I want to be selfish about this. It serves me as a member of a citizen of Canada, a citizen, a resident of British Columbia, to have stable families, to have children with their natural parents, to have that sort of community building thing from the ground up. It serves my interest. Mm-hmm. At the very least, it's going to produce more little taxpayers to pay for my old age care. Okay?
Yeah.
So from a real selfish point, I'm not really selfish like that. I actually have a very big heart. And I'm not looking at this from
a selfish practical
point of view, but that's a practical
point of
view. That's
a reality that we have in this socially serviced nation of ours.
That's right.
And more than that, Terry, so, what about the resources for the kids who really need
this
help?
This was supposed to be a business-oriented government. Under Gordon Campbell, it was supposed to be.
Actually,
now it's a family-friendly government.
Really important.
But we're not getting... Yes,
what's
sure.
really concerning is on the very first phone call, it states that they knew Magda was from Poland. She had no family and friends here aside from him and his mother and father. So they knew that she needed the resources. Like, of an interpreter.
The support.
As well as...
So there was no interpreter?
I suppose we should be thanking our lucky stars that they didn't send a four-person team from the RCMP to greet her.
With Taser.
That's right.
Yeah.
So.
All right, now, Star Alice. So we're moving past now. She just leaves the country. She comes back. You get involved as an advocate. Now, you're a mother of four children, and I remember the first time I talked to you on the phone, I kind of went, hallelujah, good, this gal's got somebody who's doing war for her. But this has been an experience for you, because I remember, because I do this often, so I know the first time we chat is almost like a therapy session. You get confirmation that you're not nuts, that this bizarre situation actually is transpiring, and you are having to deal with intellectually deficient individuals as far as it relates to the decisions of children, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
So now, as an advocate, this has been an interesting experience for you, because you've been told how to do your life and what's in the interest of your children as well. Give us some insight into what's gone on from your perspective in this.
Well, I went into this thinking and believing in the government. Like, I went into it believing that those resources were there for her. So I initially was just thinking, you know, great. These guys are going to help, you know. We've got her supervisor.
Yay,
we've
Canada.
Got that person's our team leader. We've got the dispute resolution. We've got the ombudsman office. You know, we've got all these MLAs and everything.
Choo, choo, choo. People everywhere lined up to help.
Yeah, and then not only that, like, they failed to help in any sort of way that would help this family. And
Well, what response did you get when you called?
I got told from Camp Rettle that he didn't want to get involved because he didn't want to botch things up, and so he wasn't willing to. I said, I've collected evidence with Magda that is concerning, and actually it will show in the report to court that there was fabrication by the social worker, which led to the removal of the child. And he said, that's a very serious
allegation
that I'm saying. And I said, well, I've got the papers right in front of me.
Yeah, it isn't serious. Would you please take it serious?
I asked him, and I've spoken with him five different times, and I've requested that he do an independent, like, that somebody within the ministry do an independent review, provide another social worker.
And what have they told you?
No.
Yeah.
They're not.
By
really.
The way, on this fabrication of evidence, it seems to me that in the last half year, Carrie, every family we've had in here that's run into trouble with the ministry has made that allegation and has had pretty good evidence to support it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was thinking of at the time, that I was trying to remember something, and I remembered it now. In the mid-1990s, I recall that I worked with a magazine that was doing a story on the social work school at the University of British Columbia. And at the time, we found out then that the trainee social workers, many of whom went on to work in the ministry, were being told that if you decide something is right, forget the rules, forget the law. Say what you have to say to get the thing done that you believe should be done. In essence, make up things as you go along, break the law, tell lies. And I'm not saying, I'm not making any judgments in this case. I haven't seen the facts. We haven't had the other, we haven't talked to the other side on this one. And I hope we have, give them an opportunity. They probably won't talk, but we'll give them the opportunity anyway. But this is a troubling thing. And I was shocked, I remember, 15 years ago when I heard this. And you know how normally resilient I am in things like this.
Normally Carrie, resilient.
Normally quite resilient. But I was shocked to my core to find out that people were going through university being told to ignore the law, make things up. If you've made up in your own mind that you have to do something for a client or on behalf of something, do it and let the chips fall where they may. And I hope this isn't a manifestation of that. So you probably didn't know that. And maybe most of our viewers didn't know about that, but you can look it up. I think there were stories in other...
We'll find it. We'll link it.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So
we better get going to the current situation right now.
So now with the current baby then, now your family, and I don't know if we still have Barb on the phone. Barb, are you still there?
Yeah, but just for what? Oops.
Okay. Yeah, we're just here
we're
for another
minute. Now, with this baby, your family has rallied together now. There are a lot of options that are available to the ministry. Your mom and dad are willing to let you live with them. They're willing to support you and the baby. Mm-hmm. And why won't the ministry go there?
Because they've promised the baby to another foster mother. That's why. They've promised the original one, now the baby. This new baby is supposed to go with the foster mother.
Okay. So have they done a parental assessment of your parents? Have they interviewed them? Have they gone to their home to see whether this is appropriate for the baby? What kind of support systems would be posed? I mean, this was a woman who was an ally to them, who was so concerned about the welfare and best interest of this child. She picked up the phone, voiced her concern. This is somebody that the ministry should really trust.
Oh, right? I think we've lost her now.
They don't trust her anymore. Once you switch sides, you lose all credibility with them.
She's the enemy now, is she?
When we went into court on the 15th, they asked me if they supported me having access to the child. Rhonda Bailey looked at me and she said, "Not anymore."
So that's the sort. Now I want to read something because this is something that you've just got yesterday, and I find it very interesting. Now they go on to a little bit about the history that's not corrected.
This is a letter from the ministry.
This is a letter from the ministry
to Magda and
Kim,
Kevin.
Dated May 30th.
May 30th.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you just got this, mm-hmm. And it says this halfway down. Magda and Kevin, you are the parents of Paul and your unborn child. Well, they got that right. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll give them credit for that. We know that you have love and care for the well-being of Paul and the baby. So they acknowledge that you are loving parents. Mm-hmm. Okay? We see that you can play with Paul for short periods of time. Well, have you been given any opportunity for long periods of time?
Not even short one.
And then they go on to say this. Okay, people, are you ready for this one? It has been unfortunate that you have not been able to work cooperatively with the ministry and participate in planning for your children.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing that the only option the ministry has is permanent
devotion to their ministry.
Permanent. So how do you work with somebody that doesn't want you to have your children? Right? If you want to have your children and they say no, that's not working. Therefore, that's more proof. Mm-hmm. that you're a bad parent. I mean, that's circular logic.
Listen to this language, okay. Though, Terry. Are you ready? This might put you on a rant. So hold on. When Terry rants, it's all good.
It's therapy.
It is therapy. Okay, you ready? Now, this again is directed to these parents. Due to your resistance and uncooperativeness, the director is moving forward with planning for your children. Should you have a change in circumstance and wish to communicate with the director and be part of the planning for your children, please don't hesitate to call.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. The key word there is resistance.
I don't think so. There's any air left.
Resistance is futile, right?
I knew you'd love that one.
Listen, we are running out of time. And I know you've come down to Vancouver. You fully expect your child to be apprehended here, but you'd rather the child be apprehended here than in Salmon Arm. Good luck.
I want to know quickly here, and we do have to close. What is the plan? Are you going to attend the birth, Starella?
Yeah.
Okay, you're attending the birth.
Yeah. Along with them.
You're due in, 6 days or so?
Yeah.
Whenever we can squeeze it in, I guess.
or squeeze it out.
I was told that I wasn't actually allowed to attend the birth by the social worker.
She's not allowed to have contact with the
children. Okay, now, do the social workers know you're down here and where you're at? No.
Hi there. They're here.
Come
on out to Langley and I'll attend the birth and I'll bring my camera crew.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe start cutting C-section on you. Come on, anyone who wants to come down to the hospital.
That now, live on Roadkill Radio.
Let it make more cuts.
That's right.
Well, we'll talk about that. But so at this point,
the birth of a new sort of time.
I'm going to give you my home phone number, Starella, okay? Because I want you to, and I know most babies won't cooperate and let me sleep in the morning, you know, but I do want to know what goes on, and if at all possible, I will come there when she goes into labor. Yeah. I think that this should be, you know, people should find out what really is going on here.
Yeah.
Now, In closing, I would like to say this, though. Mary McNeil, Minister for Children and Family, if at any time you would like to meet and discuss planning for this family in a reasonable, logical, mm-hmm. truthful way, one that honestly reflects the best interest of children mm-hmm. and can be moved forward in a cooperative, helpful way, I'm sure these parents, mm-hmm. their advocate, and mm-hmm. I will all attend that meeting mm-hmm. with delight. Most is that
definitely.
Fair?
Yep.
That is fair.
Very fair.
Okay, guys.
We're willing to try.
Yes, definitely.
Keep us posted. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
And
Thank you. And
we will keep following this story, people, because obviously this is we're just birthing this story at this
right.
moment.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in and taking time out and being brave to stand in front of the cameras and to withstand the withering questioning by Carrie and me. Thank you very much.
Well, and we are tough. People should know when we do these, right?
Thank you.
Okay.
So if you guys want to leave, go back this way.
Okay.
We have to move on to another part of the show, and we do appreciate you coming in. Now, we did have a caller
take
that just called in.
You,
Len, is that caller still on the line? No. Okay. Sorry about that, caller.
It
got really busy here, and we weren't able to take your call. If you have a question, perhaps you can send us an email to roadkillradio@live.ca. And during the course of the last segment, we, of course, mentioned the organization PAPA. That stands for People Assisting Parents Association. Their website is pa-pa.ca. So
full of good information.
That's right. Based in Coquitlam, my hometown, where I live these days. Thank you. And before we move on to the next segment, we do have an email. It says, parents should never have their children in the hospital nowadays anyway because the risk of being kidnapped by the MIFF is too great. Do a home birth and don't let anyone know where you will be having the baby. That's from a unsigned, from somebody from the email of edits something or other. So thank you. That's one way of avoiding them, I guess.
Well, you know what, Terry? You're laughing, but you know what?
That's going off the grid, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's going off the grid.
But you know what? It is becoming more popular.
That's right.
Yep.